I finally decided to start something new and something that which is mine. I'm sure that 100% this product is mine.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. Today's Women in Tech shout-out goes out to Anna Anderson. Anna is so amazing. I met her in Europe a couple years ago, and I'm just so thankful that she is in my orbit, empowering women in tech around the world, specifically in Riga, Latvia, with Tech Girls. She is the founder at BeWith. She is just defines empowerment. Be sure to say hello to Anna on LinkedIn. Go to A-N-N-A, and then her last name is A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, as in Nancy E. Anna, thank you so much for supporting and cheering on Women in Tech globally. Tell her you found her via the Women in Tech podcast.
If you too want to connect and collaborate with more incredible women in tech, remember you can go to the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com.
We would not be able to support and celebrate women in tech around the world if it weren't for you. Thank you so much for being a listener and a fan of the show. To contribute and donate, simply go to womenintech.fm on the upper right-hand side and click donate, which empowers us to continue celebrating women in tech around the world. Thank you for being a part of our journey.
Command Line Heroes is an original, highly produced, award-winning podcast about the people who transform technology from the command line up, presented by Red Hat. And this is not a technical show. This is a show anyone can enjoy, featuring experts from across the industry. Season 4 is airing now, so subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and stick around to the end of the show to hear a sneak preview of the brand new season.
So I'm driving on the 405. Back to my place and thinking about how this year is so different than years in the past. That in the past, really, one of the top things I wanted to do was travel the world and see things. And now, literally, all I want to do is be really healthy. I want to be laser obsessed with processes within my business. And I want to experience just feeling calm, so which goes in with health and feeling a lot of like meaningful connection with friends. And outside of that, like I really don't want to be distracted from those goals. I don't want things to take me away. I mean, I even stopped drinking because there was one day where I had a few drinks and then I was really excited to work on something the next day. And when I woke up, I was just wiped out from the alcohol and I couldn't work on this thing that I wanted to work on. I'm like, well, why am I doing anything that takes me away from what I want to be doing? And so I just decided I would stop drinking. I don't know if it's forever. It doesn't really matter, but it's for now and I'm really enjoying it. And it's been surprisingly not hard. People seem to get really jealous of my mocktails. They're always very tasty. So it's interesting that as we go through life, or at least as I go through life, there's these different chapters with different motives and being in line with what is it that I want for myself during this period of my life, and are my actions in alignment with the things that I want for myself. And so now when someone asks, like, want to go on some trip, I'm like, you know, actually, I just really want to organize my house and go to the gym, you know, and live this, I guess, boring life, but it's not boring to me. I'm finding it fascinating to continue to learn how I operate the most efficiently and create a life of abundance and joy. Not to, it sounds so hokey, but you know, like if we're going to live on this planet, if we're going to live this life, don't we want to enjoy it? Why would we want to live a miserable life or a stressed out life? Or sometimes I catch myself, and I'm sure you do too, where somebody does something on the freeway and you like honk at them. Like, what was even the point? It's not like they're going to change their behavior from the honk. And you're like, honk, you better learn your lesson, you know? And nobody that we honk at is learning any lesson. They don't remember our honks. And the only person it frustrates us by letting out that moment of aggression is us. We're feeling the aggression, and that's such an uncomfortable feeling in our bodies. So Okay, not to sound like a completely LA granola person, you get the point. I hope you guys enjoy the next episode. Bye.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast, celebrating women in tech around the world. I am here in Lithuania with Baltic Sandbox. So excited to have a guest that we've actually had on the show in the past when we were in London. It is so cool to see how, as an entrepreneur, has evolved with her company. She's going to update us and she's going to tell us everything new that is going on. Hello.
Hi.
Crazy that the last time we saw each other was in London.
Yeah, it's been a while, and I think it was my last month in London. Then I moved.
Yeah? Where did you move to?
I moved for 1 month to Russia, to Moscow, to fix all things that I couldn't do, like, distantly.
In London, yeah.
Yeah, and then I went to some conferences also in Russia and went to Europe.
And in London, you were a part of Google Startups. They had a cool program going on there. And here you're a part of Baltic Sandbox. Before we get into that, why don't you formally introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. My name is Arina, and I can say that I'm a female entrepreneur. I'm a founder of SmartSim. It's an augmented reality marketplace for cosmetics. Now we're in an early stage, and we are just developing the whole application.
So where were you in your company when we were in London, and where are you today?
So I should say that now I'm starting everything from the scratch. Before that, I have been working for a company that had, like, let's say, 3 years. We worked with hardware, and we reached some limits, I would say, because we faced with things like investors didn't want to invest in hardware. That was difficult to build the product. And then we also signed some contracts with Russian retailers. Those contracts that don't have anything, actually, so legally it doesn't make sense. But none of them wanted to invest. So we were looking investment. We did something by ourselves, but it was so difficult.
And then how did you evolve into your company now? And it's changed its name too, right?
Yes. I changed that name because it's a different team, it's a different company. And first, why I decided to do that? Because I had a different vision. I offered my idea to the previous company because now I'm focused on software more. And I want to be a provider of cosmetics. I don't create cosmetics or something. And the idea of the previous product was a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, now it's new. That's why, of course, I'm supposed to change name, everything.
And what would you say is an advantage that you're experiencing with this new company now, since it's your second time doing it? Do you feel like you have a head start, or do you feel like you have an advantage or a superpower because it's not the very first time?
Well, first, I feel a superpower because I control everything, like everything. And I just 2 months ago, this idea came to my mind and I found a partner. And we do everything so quickly, like what have been done so far. There's a design of application, the emotional tracking technology. And also, of course, I had experience in the same industry. So for me, it was easier, you know, to understand what actually retailers need and where I'm going.
And where did you meet your co-founder?
During the accelerating, it was also in Moscow. He went to help some other companies, but then we just realized that we can work actually together.
And what has been some of the advantages of being part of this accelerator, Baltic Sandbox, here in Lithuania?
Well, first I want to say that I was invited already, let's say, 2 weeks ago. And being in this startup life 2 years, I can compare with different places. And I want to say that Baltic Sandbox, one of the best. Because I don't want to pronounce name of other accelerators, but they are quite popular, famous,
yeah.
But this one, we can say like, oh, it's in Lithuania, you know, right, small country, but actually the quality of this mentoring program, the quality of organization is much better than in some accelerators that are well-known.
Sometimes, you know, if somebody owns an agency of some sort and they're representing many people, like many, many, many people, it's hard for that agency to give you special attention because there's so many people, it's not possible. Whereas if you have a more specialized agency and you're being represented by, you know, an agency that doesn't have as many people, then they care more about you as an individual. And I feel like that may be the same as this accelerator here is, you know, they pay special attention to every single person because somebody else that we interviewed on the show said it's like a family.
Yeah, you know, the atmosphere here is really good. And I don't know, yesterday my friend and me were discussing in general, like locals, and we found that it's like they are in a harmony, like it seems like that. Same with this accelerator, like you know that you have so many things to do, but no one in a hurry.
In the past few months, what's a huge obstacle that you've successfully overcome and how did you overcome it?
In the world of modern technology, we open our laptops, scroll endlessly on our smartphones, send tons of data to the cloud, and we don't think twice about it. But have you ever wondered how we got to now with our personal devices? What it took were teams of engineers and programmers who had the vision and audacity to build new machines. I'm Saranya Barak. Join me for an incredible new season of the podcast, and keep on coding.
Season 4 is airing now. Subscribe to Command Line Heroes today, wherever you get your podcasts.
In the past few months, what's a huge obstacle that you've successfully overcome and how did you overcome it?
Well, first is that I finally decided to start something new and something that which is mine. I'm sure that 100% this product is mine and it gives me, you know, power to manage things because I know if I don't do anything means that no one does it.
People who want to look up what you're doing right now, where can they find out more?
Okay, so I think that we need maybe 1 month more to have the product done. And if we're talking about social media, you just can find on my personal page because I found one, let's say, drawback of everything that when you are only three in your company, it's like I'm supposed to do this and that, but actually you have to do everything.
Yeah, like, yeah, tell me. That I know about. Yeah, it's so much. And where is your personal page? Which one?
My personal page on Instagram.
How do you spell the handle?
Aris Henry. It's A-R-I-S-H-E-N-R-Y.
Perfect. And are you on LinkedIn as well? And can you spell your name for everybody on LinkedIn?
Arina Ponomarova, A-R-I-N-A-P-O-N-O-M-A-R-E-V-A.
And we'll include it in the show notes as well. So what is some advice that you've got in the last few months that has really helped you?
Well, I should say that the one I heard in London is that we're just walking around with my friends. They're also in startup community, but they're mostly from venture industry. And they told me, why you don't just start it by yourself? I was really afraid just to do that because I was like, maybe it's some kind of betrayal, you know, like I'm just leaving that company and I'm going to the same industry. But then I realized that I can't take everything and all the time ask people do something if they just don't want to do that. So
totally.
Totally, yeah. Because as you may you remember, I wasn't like one of the co-founder. I was newly appointed CEO and I did my best, but it just didn't work. Maybe I didn't convince them or something.
It's hard to find ourselves and to transition and to figure out where the right fit is for us and to take chances when, you know, we don't know what we're doing and to learn everything that we don't know and to learn what to learn, because sometimes we don't even know what we don't know.
Yes.
And it's great that there are programs like this, like Baltic Sandbox and other forms of mentorship. I know Sandra takes such an interest in focusing on women in tech specifically and making sure the women are empowered to accelerate forward. You've been pitching.
Yeah.
We were even part of a pitching workshop together called Pitching for Life. Yes. That was done here. What guidance would you give everybody about pitching, and specifically pitching in, you know, when English is your second or third language? You know, that's very intimidating. It's intimidating to even be on the podcast now. I don't know if it is for you, but in general, people who speak English as a second or third language, they think their English might not sound great. So when you're pitching and it's this crazy pressure on stage to raise money, what guidance would you give us?
I actually enjoy pitching in English, because even if I pitch in Russian, for me sometimes it's difficult to find right words to name a specific technology, because, you know, we all the time use those English words. And I think that just get ready for that. Preparation is everything. Sometimes I felt like, okay, maybe improvisation is always good because I can give real emotions to people, but no, it doesn't work. Actually, preparation is everything.
And what is your process to prepare? How long do you take to prepare?
First, structure my pitch, and then just like nonstop, you just repeat and repeat and repeat. And it's better if someone can listen to you and give you some feedback, even if this person have no idea what you are doing. At least this person can explain you if you move like a bit strange, or maybe you need to be more relaxed, or maybe you're very slow or maybe fast. So,
and as a new company developing yourself, if there's something we can do to support you as a global community, what would that ask be? How can we help accelerate you forward?
Well, first, I'm looking even not for investment. First, I'm looking for partners. I'm happy to work even with small brands just to test my products and to see how this online channel can be helpful.
And walk us through what it would look like, the potential partners listening right now. What could you do for them?
Well, what do we offer is that your client can get quickly your product on its face. It's kind of virtual try-on that helps people to see what the cosmetics going to look like on you. But we are different from others' application that we can give smart recommendations. Like we teach a neuron system. We took 1,000 photos of women with different face shape, with different color type. So, and then we give like smart recommendations.
Nice. Love it. So if potential partners listening want to reach out, make sure to find you on LinkedIn, and we'll include your link in the show notes. Is there anything else you wanted to share before we wrap it up?
What can I share? I don't know. I just want to say that maybe if someone who is about to open their own company but still have some fears, I would say that you just do it, because you may stay at the same place where you are and you will complain that you didn't try. My recommendations to everyone is just like, do what you want.
Do what you want.
Do what you want, yeah.
And one way to help you accelerate forward and get to be the person that you want to be, and it's an app you talked about on the last episode you were on, is the Habit app, right?
Yes.
That's your favorite app?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Habit app and what it does?
It's an application that helps you to get used to habits you would love to be and remove bad habits. And yes, I was talking about that app in London, and this time I didn't know that you're going to be here. And I invited my friend, who is the founder of that app. I invited him because he never went to any accelerating program, etc. And I was like, you have an incredible app. You have so many users.
Right. 16,000 users, yes. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And you should try. At least he never pitched. And I also helped him this year with English. We had classes 2 days per week.
Yeah.
And after those pitching lesson, he told me like, oh, I can't believe it was in English.
It was his first time pitching in English.
Yes.
That, I mean, that's so cool. And when I was in Kazakhstan a couple weeks ago, one of the women in tech, it was her first time speaking on stage in English. And it's just so cool to be a part of that journey. So, and what's the URL, do you know it, of Habit App?
The website, I don't know, just I think it's easier to find on Apple Store.
On Apple Store, just check out the Habit app. Thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. If you want to connect and collaborate with more women in tech around the world, be sure to go to the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. We'll take you straight to the Facebook group. Say hello on social at Women in Tech Show on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. I will see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye. Thank you everyone for listening to this podcast, because after Google I listened to other women that was with me and was very interesting. They gave you some insight that they didn't tell like out loud.
I love it.
Yay! My name is Arina Ponomareva. I'm CEO and founder of Smarcy. I'm part of the Baltic Accelerating Program in Vilnius, Lithuania. And you are listening to Women in Tech.
I'd like to tell you about an all-new season of Command Line Heroes, a podcast presented by Red Hat. No one ever said hardware was easy. In Season 4, Command Line Heroes is telling 7 special stories about people and teams who dared to change the rules of hardware and, in the process, changed how we all interact with technology.
In the world of modern technology, we open our laptops, scroll endlessly on our smartphones, send tons of data to the cloud, and we don't think twice about it. But have you ever wondered how we got to now with our personal devices and what it took to get here?
There was this blue box on a table, and he said, well, here it is. I said, well, what is it? He said, it's a microcomputer.
What it took were teams of engineers and programmers who had the vision and audacity to build new machines. These machines, they revolutionized our lives and blew the doors open to what was possible.
How many people here had a computer versus how many people intended to get one? Only 1 or 2 people actually had them. And they would bring them to the club meeting. What are you going to do with it? And nobody had an answer.
The key thing about time sharing was that the computer needed some way of being able to sort of stop its own clock.
The creators of the floppy drives are not household names by any means. If it wasn't for that, PCs would have been adopted much more slowly.
This January 28th, we launched Season 4 of Command Line Heroes, an original podcast from Red Hat. And this season, it's all about the hardware. We'll hear the stories behind some iconic machines and the people who dared to create them.
I was the kid that always took things apart, took my older sister's toys apart.
This is just another bag on the side of the Eclipse, a skin job. Nope, this is a whole new machine.
The process of passing the tapes around and encouraging and building upon each other's results is really what made the personal computer industry.
We're exploring mini computers, mainframes, the first personal computers, floppies, early smartphones, and game consoles. And we're also going to hear how the community ethos that drove those early hardware heroes to build those machines still exists today in the open source hardware movement.
The values of sharing are still there. I mean, it's in the entire open source community.
The machine, in a way, was kind of a bit character. It was the people who were the real guts of what it was about.
I'm Saranya Barak. Join me for an incredible new season of the podcast and keep on coding.
So thank you, and eat your sandwiches.
Season 4 is airing now. Subscribe to Command Line Heroes today, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Women in Tech podcast is hosted and produced by me, Esprit Devora,
with help from Janice Geronimo,
edited by Adam Carroll,
show notes by Carl Marty,
and music from Jay Huffman Live and Epidemic Sound. The Women in Tech podcast is a WeAreTech.fm production.